Hello, Gally. You're listening to KGVM Bozeman 95.9. I am Siobhan O'Steele, and this is The Body Politic. That's right, folks. The Body Politic is back. Now, you may have noticed that I am not Dr. Nurse Nancy, but fear not. Dr. Nurse Nancy is with me in the virtual studio, along with her producer and significant other, Lori Hyris, and we are going to talk about this show, The Body Politic, how it was conceived, the show's history, and where it's going to go from here. First of all, Dr. Nurse Nancy, can you tell the audience the story about your on-air name, why you used a pseudonym, and how you picked yours?
Absolutely. But let me start by saying, welcome, Siobhan. We are so excited that you are carrying on Body Politic. It's really thrilling for us. And I appreciate that you thought to invite us as your first guests. So, yes, let me talk first of all about why I decided not to use my real name. There were kind of two reasons. And my real name, by the way, is Nania Bear. I thought, I have no idea what kind of response we may get to this show. And I thought, why really put myself out there if there are people who don't like what I have to say? You know, I don't really want to hear from them. I don't want them tracking me down and sharing their opinions. That was sort of a general thing, but very specifically, I knew that I wanted to do a show on medical aid in dying. That has long been an important issue to me. I'm very much in favor of legal medical aid in dying, and I think that it should be way more accessible than it is. At the time that we started this show, I was working as a nurse at a for-profit assisted living facility that was pretty conscious about its brand, its image. And I thought that if they knew that their nurse was on the airwaves talking about we should be able to have medical aid in dying, they might worry that people would say, well, we're not going to send grandma to that place. You know, I heard that nurse wants to kill them. So I thought I just, you know, to avoid trouble at work, I wouldn't use my real name. But the way I came up with Dr. Nurse Nancy is that when I was little, I loved the little golden book called Nurse Nancy. She had a little ambulance that was one of those, what were they called? The red flyers or something that you pull around.
Oh, the wagons?
The little red wagon.
The red flyer wagon.
And she had supplies of Band-Aids that were, some of them had like stars on them and stuff. And to me, that was very cool because most Band-Aids in the 1960s were boring, but she had the best Band-Aids. And I wanted to be a nurse. And my parents gave me a little nurse suit with the cap and the cape. And God, I wanted to be a nurse. But when I grew up, I did other things for a long time. And eventually I did go back when I was in my 40s. And became a nurse, and I was then working as a nurse. And I should also say that I liked the name Nancy because my mother for a while was Miss Nancy on Romper Room. It's a regional show. Anyway, so Nancy was a good name. After I got my nursing degree, I went on and got a PhD in something unrelated, pretty much. So then I actually was a doctor, but I wasn't working in a field where anybody could call me, routinely would call me doctor. It's not like I was a professor. So I thought it would be fun if I at least got to call myself doctor. So I put it together and I came up with Dr. Nurse Nancy. And they say that nurses, along with firefighters, are some of the most trusted people. So I thought, why not boost my credibility in an honest way?
My sister is a nurse and I trust her implicitly. So how about you, Lori? You did also have a pseudonym, did you not?
I did. I was not going to be the host of the show. I was basically the producer, so it really didn't matter for me. But, you know, when I went through the KGBM training, they also suggested for DJs, it's kind of a fun thing to do. And so I created one called Robin Fly, you know, fly, Robin Fly. You know, I'm from that age. You're doom, 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 doom.
The so. Disco era. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I thought of that and a couple of other things. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to say something about how important KGBM is to me and was to me when it first started. I don't know if. Absolutely. You didn't ask that question, but can I talk about that for a minute?
Oh, yes, please do.
Yeah. So I, when I first moved to Montana, I kind of, you know, I've been doing radio work sort of on and off since college. You know, I was definitely doing it more in college, a little bit in New York City at the public radio station. From time to time, I would do some things on the radio. But really, I was active in New York City and public access television, which has a lot to do with public radio, right? So public access radio or whatever. So I had worked in New York City with Amy Goodman on Democracy Now! A little bit, basically because we provided a studio for her. And so she had the radio show and then she had a TV show that we were helping with. And so the reason when I moved to Montana, I was pretty excited about Democracy Now! And I went to KGLT, the college radio station, quite naively. And I said, hi, I just moved here from New York City. And, you know, I don't know if you do, I've worked in public access television and, you know, there's this great show, Democracy Now!. And they said, no, we don't do that kind of show here. And in fact, you know, it turns out they don't. They do music at KGLT for the most part. They don't do talk shows. So there seemed to me, I was kind of disappointed because I was like, oh, I wanted to, you know, I wanted them to carry Amy Goodman's show because it was really, she was really getting off the ground at that time. This was 20 years ago. And she'd been doing that show even longer than that. So that's how I got interested in it. So when I noticed back in, like, I want to say 2000, what year was it?
I don't know. I just know maybe 4 years ago.
Oh, no, it's probably longer than that now. 2016, I would say, or 17, when KGBM got started. I just heard it on the radio and I heard Amy Goodman. I heard Democracy Now! On the radio as I'm driving into the college from Manhattan, Montana. I'm on the radio and I couldn't believe it. I was like, what radio station is this? Am I in New York City? How am I hearing Amy Goodman on the radio? And so I had to go right away to find out, like, well, what are we tuned to? You know, what were the, you know, 95.9? What's 95.9? Where are they? And there they were. And that's how I got involved. I went straight to the first meeting I could. And I was like, oh my God, you guys are here. And they were like, amazing. They're like, yeah, it took us like 12 years to get the transmitter. We've been wanting, and we want to air Amy Goodman. And so that's how I got involved. And I said, I don't know what kind of show I want to have. I just want to contribute because I was so happy that, you know, Bozeman had KGVM. So that's kind of a long way of introduction, but that's how I got involved.
Yeah. And I was, when you told me about it, I was thrilled that there was a potential for talk radio in the Gallatin Valley, in Montana in general, that was at least not right-leaning, you know. Mm-hmm. Pretty much everything on talk radio that you can find all across the dial is very right-wing, and I think that having some kind of an outlet for response to that was something that was really needed. So I was really happy that you guys intended to do a show. And, you know, back when you two were planning the show, Nania told me the name that she'd been kicking around for the show, The Body Politic. And I think we had kind of a long conversation about why that was such a great name. I instantly loved it and felt it was perfect for the concept of the show. Can you tell the story about how y'all conceived the show and its mission and why the title, The Body Politic?
Oh, Okay.
Well, Lori came up with the name.
Yeah, I did. I came up with the name right away. I'm not even, I just knew that if I used the body politic, I mean, there were certain things, you know, that I knew. I figured I could put pretty much anything under that, the body politic, right? There's so many that whatever type of shows we decided to do, it was a very open-ended sort of title, you know? And so Nania had ideas for shows that she wanted to do. I wanted to be able to, you know, interview artists in, in the Bozeman area, because I'm familiar with some of the work that they're doing, and the body politic that could fall under that. It's just a very broad name, but then you have more specific how you feel.
Yeah, and I would say that generally speaking, I was usually kind of most excited and most involved in the shows that were in some ways sort of overtly political and had to do with body issues. But Lori also brought in a lot of artists and shows on philosophy, shows on music, et cetera. In the beginning, as part of the introduction, we used to say body politic, a show about how our ability to control what we do with our bodies and what happens to our bodies shapes our life experiences. And after, I think still on the website. After a while, we dropped that, but I would say that really most things do have something to do with bodies or life experiences. I went into it knowing that I wanted to do shows about things like medical aid and dying and abortion and intersex issues, very body specific kinds of issues. So I liked the body is a very political place. And so I liked the body part and the politic part.
Well, and being transgender myself, I'm very concerned with bodily autonomy, and that's why, you know, that name particularly resonated with me. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, here we have, and we'll talk about this later in the show, the government constantly trying to control trans bodies, you know, mm-hmm. they're always trying to control women's bodies. And when you think about it, you know, in a broader scope, you know, our body is really what everyone's trying to control, you know, with things like workers' rights. I mean, mm-hmm. that is your body that you're basically renting out to corporations. And, mm-hmm. you know, so everything basically to do with politics comes back to your body and your autonomy. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I was really thrilled that there would be a show that would hit on those subjects. So how long did you actively produce this show, and about how many episodes do you think you have out there?
You know, I believe Lori would know better. I believe we did like at least 41, maybe a few
42.
More.
We have 42 episodes. Yeah, so we did it for about 3 years in 42 episodes. So once a month is what we signed up for. And, you know, we kind of did that. There were times where we had to repeat a show if we didn't get it together to have a show. But
not
pretty
super
much
often, though.
Pretty often, yeah. We kind of, yeah. So,
yeah, it was a long time. I mean, we look at the list now. We were looking at it this morning, and it's like, wow, kind of makes me tired to look at it. We're so glad you're taking over.
Oh, no. It was great.
Yeah. Well, and during the show's run, I was honored to be a guest on the show several times.
You were the first guest, I noticed.
I guess I was.
Very first show. It doesn't even have a number on it. I had to find it. I didn't start, you know, I didn't get it together to number them in my, in my hard drive here.
And and you co-hosted some shows, essentially. Yeah, I mean, you were the kind of who was on the most.
Yeah. And that was a lot of fun for me. And
I'm glad.
You know, like I said, I thought it was a great vehicle for getting the word out about subjects that I felt important. So, you know, if you go to the KGVM website, many of the show's episodes are still listed there. And you know, I would encourage people, you know, if they haven't heard the show before, to go back and re-listen to those episodes. And I, I realized how many amazing shows there were as I was reviewing that. And I was just hoping that, you could each tell me some of your favorite moments in the shows over the years, maybe some of your favorite shows, guests, subjects, things like that.
Well, I'd love to jump
Yeah, go
in.
ahead, jump in.
Well, I love all my shows equally. That said, some of the memorable ones for me, the most memorable. So I'm gonna pull out a few here. One was a show on the lived experiences of people of size, and we had two guests, Katie Michael Sanchez and Jen McClellan, who are people of size, or as Katie would say, that she would say she's a fat person. Talking about this was a topic that Katie picked. She is a spiritual counselor at the hospital in hospice, and I actually approached her about doing a
She
show
has a
about.
show. She has a
Well, I
show,
know,
yeah.
no, but initially I wanted to talk with her. I wanted her to do a show on grief and how that affects our bodies and how people can help and that kind of stuff. And she was like, I really want to do a show on this other topic. And it happened that I had met this other woman, Jen McClellan, and somewhere, she's not in the state, but she works on something, she a project called Plus Size Birth, and talks about maternal, pregnancy and maternal experiences of women of size. Anyway, she agreed to be on with Katie, and I felt like their conversation with one another about their experiences was so genuine and unusual, because this is a subject that people often don't talk about easily. And I know that they continued their conversations after that show. And Katie sent beautiful pictures, life drawing pictures that went up on the website of women of size being drawn. And she has been a model and she also draws. So for me, that was one show that really stayed with me. And I have plenty more that I actually would love to talk about, but Lori, do you want to jump in?
Oh, there's so many great shows. I wanted to do a shout out though for public radio in general, because one of the earlier shows that we did was we went over to our sister radio station in Butte, KBMF, and we spoke with Clark, I think Clark Grant. And that was really a great experience because we had just started to do our radio show, and I was working a lot out of, with my own equipment out of my home. And Clark Grant, he had an amazing station over there in Butte, and Butte is just cool in general. And he was so gracious to invite us over. We were recording our show in his studio, and his studio was pretty spiffy, with four really nice microphones. And he had invited the woman from KFGM in Missoula, the Missoula Public Radio Station, that's 105.5. And that was just a lot of fun. So they were kind of advising us, because KGLT is such a
But
younger,
KGBM.
or KGBM is such a younger station. So it was really that was really a lot of fun to do a show in their studio, one of our first, and just learn a little bit about public access radio. And there were lots of other stations that Clark had helped other people, stations on Native American reservations. Basically, he was just really helpful with any questions you had about getting up and running on a radio show. So that's just one I wanted to put out there, because there's when you think about it, there are public access radio stations all over the country, and they have conferences and things, and they talk to each other. So it was just exciting to see other people, and of course to see Butte. I know. Yeah.
Well, and I have shows, I have more shows I would love to tell you about briefly. I don't know where we are in terms of time, so you'll have to be my guide. I didn't set any kind of stopwatch.
Yeah, we have about 10 minutes in this first half. So, yeah, just This is the part that I'm interested in hearing. So
okay.
Please go on.
So I guess a couple things. So in terms of favorite guests, there is a woman named Victoria Laframboise, who's an old colleague of mine. She's a member of the Blackfeet Nation. She's been on a couple of times. She talked about breastfeeding. She talked about some other issues. But the thing that I love most about Vicky is her giggliness and her storytelling. And so we did a show with her and then Jennifer Bear Medicine, who I think also is in Browning. Vicky's moved out of Browning now. But the name of the show turned out to be, "You Are Courageous, You Are Brave, You Can Do This, Just Move." And it started with Vicky. So neither of these women think of themselves as being like what you would expect an elite athlete to look like. So Vicky told the story of how she got into running. And it was, you know, there had been some corporate or organizational challenge where she worked and someone had signed up and then they couldn't go and they asked her to go. And she was like, you know, kind of like, "Look, I wouldn't run for a bus. What are you talking about?" But she went and did it and she was really sore the next day, but she found she really liked it. And she thought, well, maybe I could start running a little. And then she talked about her whole story and like some of her downfalls. Like, she told this super sad story about how she came in absolute last in a race. She was like, "I didn't expect to win, but I didn't want to be last." But she kept doing it. And then her excitement would build and she would say, "And then I was in the bubble run. And then I was in the jingle bell run. And now I'm just running, running, running." And that's when she said, "And, you know, I want everybody to know, you are courageous. You are brave. You can do this. Just move." And just her personal exuberance about this personal journey she had been on. I mean, you know, she's a health professional, so she put it in the context of how it's good for your body and your community, etc. But I just loved her as a guest.
And really, that's how you inspire people, is by being excited yourself, you know. So what a great spokesperson she must have been for that.
Well, she is. And if you go on the website and look at the picture of her, you can just, she's just beaming. Anyway, another guest I really liked a lot was Larry Medicine Bull.
Oh yeah, Larry Medicine Bull gave us a prayer in Northern Cheyenne. That's just
it
beautiful.
Was so nice.
Yeah.
So go ahead. Well, I was going to say, Larry is the father of also a colleague of mine, Kay Medicine Bull. And so during COVID, we did a show on how the loss of elders who were obviously vulnerable to COVID, how that was affecting the loss of the Cheyenne language, because not a lot of people are fluent in Cheyenne anymore. And those who are often elders. So that was the theme of the show. But then Larry was going to tell us a traditional Cheyenne story. And then all of a sudden, we were Zooming because it was COVID. And then all of a sudden, like, we couldn't hear them.
The phone, I think their the reception went off. Oh, my God. Except, right at the height of the story.
Right. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, whoa. No, I want to hear this story. And then Lori starts smiling and she's like, "I think they're pranking us." And then eventually they came back. They're like, "We don't know what happened." So he tells the story. It's a very
long
story.
He had us on pins
story,
and needles. Yeah.
Right.
And
about
then he just left
the rolling
it.
Head.
Yeah.
So we get to the end and then he's like, "You know, you're never supposed to tell these stories during the day. That's why the computer went mute." Like, oh yeah. Oh yeah,
that
Larry.
Great.
Thanks
that
a lot.
Fantastic. Yeah.
So that was cool.
That's kind of been my experience with Native elders that I've known in my life. They're always pranking you, always making a joke of everything. It's just,
we were
so
pranked.
To be around.
But it was very, very lovely. And later we turned to Larry for other things. We did another show on
the history of Northern Cheyenne Nation, and he helped. He wasn't on that show, but he helped advise us. So he's been a resource to us. And
that was the show on Professor Leo, Leo Kilsback. Yeah, we did a whole show with Professor Leo Kilsback on the two books.
Yeah, and we did shows on sex shops. Well, like we interviewed the people from formerly Miss Kitty's, although that dates me. It's been Erotique forever. But I love Erotique. And one of my earlier jobs was working at Eve's Garden, which was the first feminist erotic boutique. And I know what community gathering spots they can be and, you know, resources. And so I just loved being able to do a show on positive aspects of sex shops. We did them on surrogacy. We got to talk to a woman who was currently trying to get pregnant to carry a baby for another couple dates. So, I mean, really people willing to share personal stuff.
Yeah, personal stuff. One of the really hard ones was the show on deportation that brought tears to my eyes and to you, Nania.
Yeah.
And
we had to stop in the middle.
Well, and you had a co-host take over.
I did. So this was two women whose names I won't use, but one of them, her father-in-law had just been deported by ICE. And we had Reverend Danielle Rogers join us kind of as a co-host.
Thank goodness. She saved us. She saved us. Because it was so deep. It was so personal, the stories that they were telling. I mean, I think everyone was crying.
Yeah, everybody was. Yeah. So we had to stop the recorder for a while. Yeah. And then Danielle took over and she did a beautiful job and made it possible to go on.
Yeah, I remember that show. I was very moved and also grateful for Danielle's presence and taking over. So I'm starting to run out of time in the first half of the show here. This is my first show and getting the timing down and everything is kind of new to me. My next question for you was a big one, and it was going to be one that is important for me to ask. It's probably going to take longer to answer than we have time for in the first half. So I was hoping that you guys would stick with me through the second half, and I could answer this, have you answer this question for me, and maybe a couple other questions, and then we'll move on to another topic of the day, which is what's going on at the legislature in Montana. We are in the middle of the 2023 Montana legislative session, and there's a lot of stuff going on there that I think everyone needs to be aware of. It's personally concerning to me, and I was hoping that you guys could give me some of your input. We'll kind of outline what's going on and some of the bills that are concerning. And, kind of maybe what the public can do to make a difference here. So, yeah, you'll stick with me?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much. Yep.
Fantastic. So you've been listening to The Body Politic. I am the new host, Siobhan Osteel, and I'm trying my best to run out the clock on this first show, first half. Make sure we get the timing right. Everything about doing this show is kind of new to me. I've not done the technology before. I've never, had to work with the clock like this. So I'm down to a minute and 15 seconds. And
First of all, I think you're doing great.
Yeah, and they have to run some interstitials in there.
So you don't want to go all the way.
Yeah, you never want to go to 30 minutes.
Nah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think we're going to go ahead and call this first half of the show to a close. And we'll start again here shortly on the second half. So
we'll be standing by.
You're listening to KGVM Bozeman 95.9. This is The Body Politic.